Greetings and welcome to Redeemer Radio, a radio outreach ministry of Redeemer Reformed Baptist Church in Redlands, California. I'm Jeff Massey, the church planting pastor at Redeemer Reformed Baptist Church and the host of this program. And with me here in the studio is your co-host, Pastor Steve Marcadant, the primary preaching pastor at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Ontario, California. And as always, we consider it a great privilege to be bringing you this radio program, for to have this opportunity to declare on the air the glory of the triune God, and to pronounce without compromise that salvation is found through Jesus Christ alone, is a privilege that we don't take lightly. It is a very kind providence of God indeed. And if you are a regular listener to Redeemer Radio, we ask you to pray with us that as the truth is proclaimed through this radio program each week, the Spirit of God will work on the hearts of those listening, and that spiritual life and evidences will follow. In fact, as ministers wholly dependent on God ourselves, Pastor Steve and I are keenly aware that we have no ability to spiritually convert or to give life to anyone in our listening audience. And so if any spiritual good is going to come to you, our listeners, as a result of this program, God will have to grant those results. And yet this fact that God is the one who must give life, and God is the only one who can produce true spiritual fruit, should not surprise us. It certainly doesn't here at Redeemer Radio. For we confess, as Holy Scripture teaches, that salvation belongs to the Lord, Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. And that while one minister may plant and another minister may water, it is God and God alone who gives the growth, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. And so if you do receive any spiritual benefit from this broadcast, thank God for His goodness. For He has made this ministry a reality, and He has been pleased to help you through it, despite the weaknesses of those who produce it each week. And of course, this emphasis on the sovereignty of God is equally pronounced and evident in the way that God applies the benefits of the saving work of Christ to those whom He has predestined to eternal life, which is now our focus here on Redeemer Radio. For having considered the work of Christ, our mediator, some weeks ago, we transitioned next to considering how the redemption that Christ has purchased for His people is applied to them by God Himself. And of course, over the past 2 weeks, with the help of Pastor John Cochran of Portico Church in Orange, California, we have considered how it is absolutely necessary for the Spirit of God to free a lost person from his or her natural bondage to sin before he or she can freely will to do that which is spiritually good. Because a lost man or a lost woman's will is in spiritual bondage, and it must be freed by the grace and the power of God before a person can come most freely to Christ. And so a sovereign work of God upon the will is necessary in the application of redemption. And yet, how is a lost person called from a state of sin and death to a state of grace and salvation? And what about the corruption of their heart and mind? How are those things overcome, and by what means? Well, these are important questions that we'll begin to ponder and answer on this broadcast of Redeemer Radio as we address the doctrine of effectual calling. And to assist us in this discussion is our special guest by phone today, Pastor Jeff Oliver. Pastor Oliver is a graduate of Westminster Seminary, California, and of the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies, and he has served as the minister of Grace Reformed Baptist Church in beautiful Placerville, California, since August of 2006. Pastor Oliver is the first person who came to my mind when I thought about a guest for this topic, because I believe he understands the issues well, and he communicates them effectively, as you will see. And so it is a joy to have Pastor Oliver on the radio program with us today. And Pastor Oliver, welcome, dear brother, to Redeemer Radio.
Well, Brother Jeff, thank you for your kind words, and it's a great privilege and pleasure to be with you and Steve this afternoon.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Pastor Oliver, before we address the subject of effectual calling, we should probably talk briefly about the doctrine of predestination. Is there a direct relationship between the doctrine of predestination and effectual calling? And if so, what is that relationship?
Well, the Lord Himself, through the prophet Isaiah, says this in Isaiah 46, verse 5 and following. He says, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? And then the Lord continues in 46:8 of Isaiah to say this, remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. So here we see very clearly the biblical doctrine of predestination. Mm. God has decreed in himself from all eternity, by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will, freely and unchangeably, all things whatsoever comes to pass. But then the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, says this in Romans 9 at verse 21. Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory? And then also, as Paul writes to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 1:5, he says, in love he, that is God, predestined us, that is Paul and the fellow believers in Ephesus, for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. And then in verse 11 of Ephesians 1, he says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. So here we see the biblical doctrine of predestination specifically with respect to God's acts in judgment and salvation. So we see here, by the decree of God, some men are predestined to eternal life, while others, being left to act in their sin, to their just condemnation. But then as we go back to that text we saw in Romans 9, at verse 22 and following, where Paul says, what if God, desiring to show his wrath, he has made vessels of wrath for destruction, and then says, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, Paul then goes on at verse 24 of Romans 9 to say, even us, whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. So here we begin to see the relationship between predestination and effectual calling. Just as God from all eternity predestined the elect unto glory, so God has also foreordained the appointed time to accomplish that eternal purpose, so that they who are elected to glory are effectually called unto faith in Jesus Christ. So the direct relationship between the doctrine of predestination and effectual calling is this. It is the relationship of God's eternal purpose to his acts in time and space to fulfill his plan to save his elect. We might put it this way. What God has decreed from all eternity in his sovereign purpose to save those whom he has chosen to save, that's the doctrine of predestination, he brings to fruition in the life history of the believer as he brings each one he has chosen to save out of the state of sin and death to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ. The doctrine of effectual calling. Thus, the predestination of God is the basis of effectual calling.
Amen. Well, Pastor, when is God pleased to effectually call his elect unto life? And when he does call them, what means does he use?
Well, again, the scriptures are very clear on this, and the Apostle Paul writes on this topic so helpfully. In 2 Thessalonians 2 at verse 13, Paul writes, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruit to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this He called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see that those whom God has predestined unto life, he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time effectually to call by his word and spirit. He says, to this he called you through our gospel. Well, to what? That which we had been chosen to as first fruit to be saved, Paul says. He says something very similar to the Ephesians 1 at verse 9. He says, God makes known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who worked all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So that which God has done in eternity, his great plan and purpose to save, he brings to fruition in the life history of the believer. Paul says to the Ephesians, he and his companions had experienced that, they who were the first to hope in Christ. And then he says, verse 13, you also, when you heard the truth, at a time later from when Paul had come to faith, through the gospel of your salvation, you believed in him and were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So it occurs when God, in his appointed time, in time and space, calls each one he has purposed to himself. But then we might ask, well, how does God do it? If that is when, how does God do it?
Pastor Oliver, let's hold that thought for just a moment. Friends, it's time for a break. Please stay tuned to Redeemer Radio. When we return, we'll continue talking about the doctrine of effectual calling with Pastor Jeff Oliver of Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Placerville, California. So you won't want to miss the next segment of the program. Please go to our website at RedeemerReformedBaptistChurch.com. That's RedeemerReformedBaptistChurch.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Please stay with us. We are back from the break. We're excited that you're listening to Redeemer Radio today. We'd like to give you an opportunity to forward any comments to us that you may have regarding this program and its content. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at comments@redeemer-radio.com. That email address is comments@redeemer-radio.com. Let me also remind you that all the broadcasts of Redeemer Radio are recorded, and they are available for listening at RedeemerReformedBaptistChurch.com. Our special guest today is Pastor Jeff Oliver of Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Placerville, California. Our topic is the doctrine of effectual calling. And let's go back to the previous question, Pastor. When God does call the elect, what means does he use?
Well, the means that he uses are the means of his word and his spirit. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1 tells the scattered Christians throughout Asia, you have been born again not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. James says something very similar, James 1 at verse 18. He says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So certainly one means that God uses is his word. But not only his word, it is also the work of his spirit. In John chapter 3, Jesus highlights that supernatural birth to new life is indispensable to seeing and entering the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 3 at verse 3 and verse 5. But then Jesus proceeds in this passage from his discussion of the necessity of the new birth to point out the mysterious nature of regeneration. At verse 8, he says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Here Jesus uses the analogy of the wind to teach the invisible and mysterious character of the Spirit's operation in the new birth by a sovereign, inscrutable, incomprehensible work. The Spirit brings about this new spiritual life in men, women, boys, and girls as they come to faith in Jesus Christ. The direct work of the Spirit is unseen, but Jesus says, like the wind, it is only observable by its effect. So God is pleased to effectually call his elect unto life in his appointed and accepted time and uses the means of his word and Spirit.
Well, thank you. Those are definitely biblical answers, Pastor Oliver. What actually transpires spiritually when the elect are effectually called or regenerated?
Well, this is a great question, isn't it? Because it gets to the heart of what happens when someone becomes a Christian. Paul again says to the Ephesians in chapter 2 at verse 1, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ.
Amen.
By grace you have been saved.
Yes.
And raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." But what is Paul telling us here? He tells us that the proclamation of the word coincides with the operation of the Holy Spirit in the effectual calling of sinners from darkness to light. By a creative word, God generates the new life, changing the inner disposition of the sinner. And so having then been made alive and enabled to hear, the sinner then hears the call of God in the gospel as it is proclaimed, and it is brought home effectually to the heart. And that effectual call then secures, through the means of the word of the truth that we spoke of in the last question, and the work of the Holy Spirit alongside that proclamation. And then we see then the first actions of this new disposition, repentance and faith, that then results in conversion. There's a great summary answer to that question we're thinking about in the Older Catechism, where they ask, what is effectual calling? And the answer they give is this. Effectual calling is a work of God's Spirit by which convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our will, he persuades and enables us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. So that's the great and glorious work of God in the believer, and what happens to someone as God works in them to this great end of the purpose of his grace.
Amen. Well, Pastor, are those who are effectually called drawn to Christ against their wills, or do they come most freely?
Well, this is a critical question, isn't it? Because as we glory in the great sovereignty of God, this is the question that comes to so many minds. Well, is it not then just coercive, almighty power, and that men are drawn and coerced and compelled against their will? And the scripture clearly teaches that that is not the case. There is no coercion here. Those who are effectually called come most freely, being made willing by his grace. And so we want to think of this in terms of effectual calling operating by moral persuasion, alongside the powerful working of the Holy Spirit of God. And so the Spirit works through the preaching of the word, and in so doing, God works through his Spirit in this morally persuasive way. Indeed, this has to follow from the very nature of the word itself, which addresses itself to the understanding and will of man. And so when the elect are effectually called or regenerated, they are brought out of that state of sin and death in which they were by nature to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ. But they come willingly. indeed, God speaking through the prophets in the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel 36 at verse 26 says this, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rule." The psalmist in Psalm 110 and verse 3 gets to this very point. He says, "Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power."
Mm-hmm.
So it's not coercion here. We are made willing by his grace. If we come to Christ and we come in repentance of faith, we don't find ourselves coming, as it were, but our minds and wills screaming, "I don't want to come."
Mm-hmm.
When we are effectually called, we are drawn to Christ freely. And even, I would add, we come gladly.
Amen.
Because he has made us willing by his great sovereign grace.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Of course, men are rejectors of the gospel until God does that great work in their heart. Well, Pastor Oliver, with respect to those who are called, are they called because God foresees something good in them? Or does God call them by his free and special grace alone?
Well, indeed, the effectual call of God is by his free and special grace alone, and not from anything at all foreseen in them. Again, as we turn to the Holy Scriptures, we find that in 2 Timothy 1 at verse 8, we read this, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace." And so we see from this text here that it is from God alone. Salvation comes and is accomplished and fulfilled and applied from God's power alone. It is not based on any actions of men, nor on God's foreknowledge of any actions of men.
Mm-hmm.
God does not, as it were, look down the corridor of time to see who will respond and who will believe in him and then call on the basis of that. Paul makes very clear to Timothy that God has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace.
Mm.
Paul again in Romans 9 at verse 10 says this, "And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done neither good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who called, she was told, the older will serve the younger." Again, we see clearly here that God's purposes here are not determined by anything good or bad, any actions of men, even as it says here, it was done before they were born. And as that is true in predestination, so it is in the fulfillment of that purpose and effectual calling. There is nothing done on things foreseen of the actions of men, but it is by God's free and special grace alone.
Amen. Well, Pastor Oliver, doesn't the Bible teach that we have to cooperate with special grace in order to be saved? I mean, are you suggesting that we're passive with respect to God's call?
Well, as we think about this question, let me bring you back to that catechism question and answer, which I think helps us to think this through. Remember, the question was, what is effectual calling? And the answer was, effectual calling is a work of God's Spirit, by which convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he persuades and enables us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. And so the answer is, yes, we are totally passive in God's effectual calling of sinners out of the state of sin and death and into the state of grace and salvation. The Bible makes this clear as Paul writes again to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, again from verse 1. Remember, as we've read this passage already, we remind ourselves that Paul tells them that you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. And again, he says, we're amongst whom all of those, at verse 3, we all walked at one time in the passions of those flesh. And so we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. And then he makes that great contrasting thought of God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
Mm.
Now this does not always sit very well with natural man.
That's right.
He wants to argue, surely there's something that I can do. It may not be much. I know God must do most, if not many, many things in my salvation. But surely I can do my bit, and God will do his bit. The idea of doing what is within oneself has a long history in man's faulty, unbiblical thinking about salvation. But if man is dead in their trespasses and sins, as the Bible clearly says, then something has to be done by God and God alone if he is to be brought to life, if he is to hear this call, and if then he is to respond in repentance and faith. Think about it for a moment. One might call as loudly and as long as one is able to a corpse, but it will not be of any effect in terms of that person hearing,
right,
let alone in them cooperating and responding. And so the Bible does not teach that we cooperate with special grace in order to be saved. Rather, it teaches that sinners in this sense are totally passive with respect to God's act and God's act alone of effectual calling.
Well, that's certainly true, Pastor Oliver. And we know that practically every religion of man, in fact, I think we could say every religion of man, has some sense of cooperation in it instead of the truth of monergism, which is God alone.
Hmm.
Well, Pastor Oliver, certainly there is a sense in which we answer this call, right? And if so, how are we enabled to answer it and embrace the grace offered and conveyed in it?
Well, yes, having been effectually called, the believer willingly, and as I said, gladly answers that call. We are enabled to answer God's effectual call by the activity of the Holy Spirit of God. As we've already said, until the Spirit effectually calls, the man himself, the woman, the boy, the girl, cannot do anything, make any initiative or move in repentance and faith towards God. But when the Spirit does call, then that man, woman, boy, or girl does embrace the gospel gladly and freely as it is offered to him in Jesus Christ. Indeed, our Lord himself speaks to this in John chapter 5 at verse 25. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The power at work when the Holy Spirit effectually calls a man is similar to the power that brought Christ himself from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That is what our Lord says in John 5:25. The day is coming when that will be the case. They will hear it as those who are dead in trespasses and sins, and yet they now will live. It's nothing short of the impartation of new life. So that's why Paul himself prayed again for the Ephesian Christians that in Ephesians 1 at verse 19, that they might know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And so effectual calling secures in the believer, through the means of the word of truth and the work of the Spirit, these first holy activities, we might say, of this new life, of this new nature, of repentance and faith, that results in the new birth in our conversion. So having been effectually called, then we do respond. We are brought to newness of life. And we repent of our sins and we express that faith that has been given to us by gift in Jesus Christ. And of course, this is the great message of the gospel itself and that in which we glory.
Yes. Yes.
That in this message, God invites sinners to accept the salvation that is offered in Jesus Christ. This was the great message our Lord himself brought, wasn't it? When Jesus came into Galilee, Mark tells us, and proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, repent and believe in the gospel. And as Christ and his apostles preached that good news, this was always the activity, the action that was demanded as the right response to that act of God. Repent and believe.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Peter said that to those on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 38, when they wanted to know, being convicted to the very depths of their souls, what must we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Paul in Acts 16, when he's in Philippi, the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? He and Silas, Paul said to them, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And Paul wraps it up in that great summary statement, Romans 10 and verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so this is the great gospel. This is the great message, this is the great promise, and this is that which we're enabled to do as God brings us from death to life.
Amen.
Every true believer calls on the name of the Lord and he is saved, but he does so because God first has effectually called him.
Mm-hmm. Well, friends, we come now to another break. When we come back, Pastor Oliver will continue talking about the doctrine of effectual calling. So you'll definitely want to hear what's coming up next on Redeemer Radio, a radio ministry of Redeemer Reformed Baptist Church. For more information about our Sunday afternoon worship service at 2:30 on the campus of the University of Redlands, go to our website at RedeemerReformedBaptistChurch.com. That's RedeemerReformedBaptistChurch.com. We'll be right back. We are back from the break. We're delighted to bring you this program, and we want to help you find a Reformed Baptist church to worship in if you're looking for a church home at this time. There is a Southern California Association of Reformed Baptist Churches, which consists of 9 member churches and a church plant here in Southern California. They have a new website listing their churches and their contact information, and we would like to share that new website address with you. It is scarbc.org. That's scarbc.org. Please go to their new website, see where their member churches are located, and plan to visit the one nearest you soon. Our special guest today is Pastor Jeff Oliver of Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Placerville, California. We're talking about the doctrine of effectual calling. And at this time, we want to go to our take up and read segment of the program, in which we recommend a book for your perusal and consideration as you learn more about this doctrine. And I want to recommend a book by the Puritan Thomas Watson entitled The Divine Cordial, or the long Puritan title is The Transcendent Privilege of Those Who Love God and Are Savingly Called. This work is available online. Just Google the title, The Divine Cordial, or it can be ordered at christianbook.com. This book is also sold under the title All Things for Good, by the Banner of True Trust. This book is an exposition of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, which reads, and we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. And chapter 7 of this wonderful work addresses the subject of effectual calling. And I want to read just a portion of this chapter, which describes what kind of call God's effectual calling is. And Watson describes it as follows. Number one, he says, the effectual call of God is a sweet call, for God does not force, but he draws us. The freedom of the will is not taken away, but the stubbornness is conquered. And after the call, there are no more disputes. The soul readily obeys God's call. Then secondly, it is a holy call. This call of God calls men out of their sins, and by it they are consecrated. and set apart for God. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, it is an irresistible call. When God calls a person by his grace, that person cannot help but come. You may resist the minister's call, but you cannot resist the Spirit's call. The finger of the blessed Spirit can write on your heart of stone, just as he wrote his laws upon the tables of stone. Mm-hmm. God's words are creating words. When he said, "Let there be light," there was light. And in our case, when he says, "Let there be faith," it shall be so. Fourthly, it is a high calling. It is a high calling because we are called to high exercises of religion. We are called to die to sin, to be crucified to the world, to live by faith, to have fellowship with the Father. This is a high calling, for here is a work too high for men in a state of nature to perform. It is a high calling because we are called to high privileges, to justification and adoption, to be made co-heirs with Christ. He that is effectually called is higher than the princes of the earth. Mm-hmm. Fifthly, it is a gracious call. It is the fruit and product of free grace. That God should call some and not others, take some and leave others, speaks of free grace. Sixth, it is a glorious call. We are called to the enjoyment of the ever-blessed God, as if a man were called out of prison to sit upon a throne. Number seven, it is a rare call. There are but few who are savingly called. The word to call signifies to choose out some from among others. Many have light brought to them, but few have their eyes anointed to see that light. The serious thought of this should make us work out our salvation with fear and labor to be in the number of those few whom God has translated into a state of grace. Number eight, it is an unchangeable call. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, Romans 11:29. That is, those gifts which flow from election. When God calls a man, God does not repent of it. God does not, as many friends do, love one day and hate another, or as princes who make their subjects their favorites one day and afterwards throw them in prison. No, God's call is founded on his decree, and his decree is unchangeable. Acts of grace cannot be reversed. God blots out people's sins, but not their names, unquote. And truly, there is much more I could read here from this great chapter, chapter 7 of this book, that would further our understanding of God's effectual calling of sinners to grace and to salvation by Jesus Christ. But for now, I simply want to commend this important work, this exposition of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 to you, for now, for your careful study and consideration. And so our recommendation for this program is to take up and read The Divine Cordial, or All Things for Good, by the gifted Puritan writer Thomas Watson. Mm-hmm. You'll be very glad that you did. Okay. Pastor Steve, Pastor Oliver, is there anything you'd like to add before we conclude today's program?
Well, I would just commend again the catechism question and answer on effectual calling that you would find in the Westminster Shorter Catechism and in the Baptist Catechism. Mm-hmm. Again, let me remind you what it says. Effectual calling is a work of God's Spirit by which convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ and renewing our wills, he persuades and enables us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. Mm. I think in the confession and the catechisms, we're reminded that we are not the first to have thought about these great doctrines of the Word of God.
That's right.
And that we can be greatly helped both through book recommendations that Pastor Jeff has just mentioned, and also these other historical documents, to be greatly helped by the those that have gone before us. We stand on their shoulders, as it were, in their understanding as they mine the scriptures for the great truth concerning these things.
Yes.
Often we can be sometimes a little confused and think it's all some mystical thing, but we see in these things how concrete and how firm and how certain these things are. They're not like trying to grab the mist. We see it is the work of God. He does certain things by means of word and spirit and accomplishes his purpose, and mm-hmm. we glory in that. And,
yes.
We glory in that great doctrine as we know the truth of it ourselves, that God has done that great work of salvation in us.
Amen. Pastor Steve.
Amen. Yeah, that's tremendous. And, of course, this doctrine of effectual calling, well, it's one that really needs to be understood and I think is often misunderstood in today's world, even in today's evangelical world. We call on men to come to Christ, to repent and believe the gospel. And we seek to bring the gospel in understandable ways. We preach it. We sincerely do desire men to come. But all we can give is what we would have to call the outward call. We can ask men. We can plead with men. We can beseech men. And we certainly tell them their need. And then we tell them the remedy. But that's the outward call. And the outward call is an absolute necessity. It's vital. But it's not the same thing as what you've been talking about, Pastor Oliver, which is the effectual call. And you said just a moment ago, it's the work of God's Spirit, persuading and enabling. And men do not have the natural ability in and of themselves to do this. It's all a large package here that we've been talking about on Redeemer Radio, and of course, it's in the scriptures.
Right.
Total depravity is such that we are incapable in and of ourselves of cooperating with God for our salvation. And so we, as preachers, and all three of us are preachers of the gospel, we have the responsibility, duty even, to commend Christ and put Christ before men.
That's right.
But we don't have the ability through sad stories or persuasion or any other way to make men believe the gospel. That's the work of God's Spirit. Sometimes, I know in the circles I've come from in the past, there was a misunderstanding of this and in the invitation system.
Right.
I don't know how familiar you've been in the past, Pastor Oliver, with the invitation system. I know Pastor Jeff here has.
Yes.
For sure. But, there's a tendency to tell sad stories, to try to get very emotional, and then make men make an emotional decision for Jesus.
Right.
And often they do make an emotional decision for Jesus. But it wasn't a true work of God's Spirit. We need to be very, very cautious that we don't deal with the gospel the way that a false religion would. False religions can be very persuasive, and they persuade men to their way of thinking and their belief. And so they believe lies. But we're to preach the truth and preach it without compromise and then rely on God's Spirit to do the work.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, Pastor Steve, in the same way that we recognize our own limitations as preachers, that we cannot bring life to the dead. Mm-hmm. Thinking about that analogy of corpses in a graveyard, we could preach as near men as long as we wanted and nothing would happen. But when God is pleased to work, the but God of Ephesians 1, then he does, by the effectual call, by the work of his Spirit, bring life to the dead. And that's why we can have confidence in our preaching of this great and glorious gospel. Because when God is pleased to attend that external call with the power of his Spirit, then comes the effectual call. And that does bring life to dead sinners. And we glory in that.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yeah, let me read something. This is from R.C. Sproul's book, Essential Truths of the Christian Faith. I think it's a good summary of what we've been talking about. Let me just read this under the heading of effectual calling. R.C. Sproul writes, effectual calling refers to a call of God that is by his sovereign power and authority, a call that brings about his designated and ordained effect or result. When Paul teaches that those whom he predestines he calls, and those whom he calls he justifies, the call to which he is referring is the effectual call of God. The effectual call of God is an inward call. It is the secret work of quickening or regeneration accomplished in the souls of the elect by the immediate supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit. It affects or works the inward change of the disposition, inclination, and desire of the soul. Mm-hmm. Before the inward, effectual call of God is received, no person is inclined to come to Him. Mm-hmm. Everyone who is effectually called is now disposed to God and responds in faith. We see then that faith itself is a gift from God, having been given in the effectual calling of the Holy Spirit. The preaching of the gospel represents the outward call of God. This call is heard audibly by both the elect and the non-elect. Mm-hmm. Human beings have the ability to resist and refuse the outward call. He will not respond to the outward call in faith unless or until the outward call is accompanied by the effectual inward call of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Effectual calling is irresistible in the sense that God sovereignly brings about its desired results. This sovereign work of grace is resistible in the sense that we can do and do resist it in our fallen nature, but irresistible in the sense that God's grace prevails over our natural resistance to it. Effectual calling refers to the creative power of God by which we are brought to spiritual life. Mm. The Apostle Paul writes, "And you he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. We who were once children of wrath and were spiritually dead have become the called out ones by virtue of the power and the effectiveness of the inward call of God. In His grace, the Holy Spirit gives us eyes to see what we would not see and ears to hear what we would not hear."
Amen. Amen.
So I think that's a helpful summary from R.C. Sproul, and again, that's from his book, Essential Truths of the Christian Faith. We recommend that for your perusal as well. Well, friends, this concludes today's broadcast of Redeemer Radio. We do want to thank Pastor Jeff Oliver for being with us today.
Amen.
We look forward to having him back with us very soon, Lord willing, to continue our important discussion on the subject of effectual calling. And for you, our listeners, please tell others about this weekly broadcast. And if you're looking for a church in the Redlands area that is serious about the Word of God and worship, visit us at Redeemer Reformed Baptist Church this Sunday at 2:30 p.m. We meet on the campus of the University of Redlands in the Hall of Letters building, room 100. We'd be delighted to welcome you this coming Lord's Day as we worship together in spirit and in truth. Our church website is RedeemerReformedBaptistChurch.com. That's RedeemerReformedBaptistChurch.com. And remember, friends, there is a Redeemer. Jesus Christ is His name. And we have a duty as Christians to make Him known.